This Fort Recovery Community Thanksgiving service coming to you from the Church of Christ, south of Fort Recovery on the Union City Road, a presentation of Calp Pharmacy in Fort Recovery, Cooper Farms in Fort Recovery, Wayne Oil in Fort Recovery, and the St. Henry Bank. Again, thanks to Calp Pharmacy, Cooper Farms, Wayne Oil, and the St. Henry Bank for their support of this radio broadcast.
Well, those who are watching and listening, we welcome you to the program this evening as we're conducting the Thanksgiving service virtually, and we appreciate you listening. For the ministerial, Fort Recovery Ministerial Group, and we do give thanks at Fort Recovery Christian Church that we can host this, and Church of Christ. And we want to thank the sponsors, Calp Pharmacy, Cooper Farms, Wayne Oil, and St. Henry Bank for allowing us the opportunity to broadcast on 100.9 and also the live streams on several church websites that are going on. So appreciate that. Let's open with prayer. Father God, as we do come tonight, we give thanks for the many blessings that you give us. We give thanks that we can celebrate you as our Lord and Savior and the Father. As we come into your presence, may all things be done to the glory of you. May we give thanks to you in our hearts always for living in this great land and for the countless blessings you pour upon us. As we give thanks this week, may our hearts turn to you always. In Jesus' name, amen. I wanted to give, as the treasurer for the Ministerial Association, just an update on what is happening. Right now, we have given out this year in assistance, medical, housing to Fort Recovery residents, $1,140, and we have two of the four scholarships. We gave out four this year for $250, Fort Recovery High School. And two of those have been received, and we're still waiting on the other side, the other two. Normally, an offering is taken up at the Easter service, which we didn't have this year because of COVID, and also this. So if you'd like to donate this year, either through your church, or you may make a check payable to Fort Recovery Ministers Association, Ministry Association, and send it to P.O. Box 356 here in Fort Recovery, and that will go in. We have currently just a little over $1,000 in the checking account with winter coming. So if you'd like to make that out, again, Fort Recovery Ministerial Association, and 356 is the post office box. So we give thanks, and always we appreciate the opportunity as a group to minister in the community. So at this time, I'll turn it over to the ladies.
Good evening to everyone out there.
Offering up on every shore. shore, her pure sacrifice of love. Lord of all, to thee we raise this our hymn of grateful praise. Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks, for He's given Jesus Christ, His Son. Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks, for He's given Jesus Christ, His Son. And now let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich, 'cause of what the Lord has done for us. Give thanks. For thyself, best gift divine, to the world so freely given. For thy great, great love of thine, peace on earth and joy in heaven. Lord of all, to thee we raise this our hymn of grateful praise. This our hymn of grateful praise. Give thanks.
Good evening. Pastor Robin Owen, and I have the great privilege of being the pastor at Trinity in here in Fort Recovery, St. James over across the state line in Salamone, Indiana, and two other St. Paul's, one on St. Anthony Road and one on Wabash Road here in Mercer County. And I have been given the topic, I am thankful for my Lord. Yes, I am indeed thankful for my Lord, and I want to tell you a story. How do you hear God talking to you? Have you thought about that? What are the ways that you hear the voice of God? I find God present, of course, in Scripture, and in music, hymns and songs, and in conversations with other fellow believers, and I hear God on the radio. And I don't just mean because I'm tuned into a Christian channel. Sometimes God talks to me through the radio. And if you're thinking, oh, it's time to lock up Pastor Robin, she's gone off the deep edge, let me tell you this story. I was at a new call, a new congregation in Batesville, Indiana, in January of 2002. And I came to that call having been on medical leave for about 18 months, recovering from a lot of surgery. And it was a congregation that was about twice as large as the one I left. And so I was feeling very anxious, both about just getting back into the normal routine of leading worship every week and teaching confirmation classes and all that, and just also the added burden of, this is a new community, a new place. I have new colleagues. I have new church leaders. And I noticed that there was a song playing on the radio when I got in my Buick and I turned the key. Stephen Curtis Chapman's song, God is God and I Am Not, was on the radio. And the first time I heard it, I thought, wow, what a cool song, because I had a colleague back in Minnesota who would say, God is God and I am not, thanks be to God. So the first couple times I heard Stephen Curtis Chapman sing God is God and I am not, I thought, oh, that's a pretty good tune. I like that song. But after about the 12th time that I got in my car and turned on the key and the radio was playing God is God and I am not, I thought, maybe I ought to listen to that. Because in that new ministry context, yes, I was carrying a lot of stress. I was loaded down with burdens. And they're not the burdens that I needed to carry. I was the sort of person that Jesus would say, hey, Robin, come to me, you who are weary and carrying heavy burdens. Set them down. Take my yoke, because it's light, because I will walk with you. That was a message I needed to hear. And I don't know about you all. Are some of you here like perfectionists with bad follow through? That's me. I'm a perfectionist with bad follow through. Or maybe you're just feeling like things have been piling and piling and piling up. Maybe in addition to your normal workload, you now are a part-time teacher because the kids are back and forth between being in school and not being in school. Or maybe you're having to scramble a bit because your workplace is short-staffed as people are out because they're ill. Or maybe it's just the stress of 2020. Because, man, I don't think anybody's going to forget 2020. I remember hearing about the tornado of 1974 down in southeast Indiana, or the blizzard of 96, I believe, hit here. 2020 is going to be one of those years that sticks in people's mind. And so if you're feeling a little overwhelmed, remember to come to Jesus. I am thankful for my Lord because I can come and I can take all those burdens off of my own shoulders where they don't need to be, lay them in front of Jesus, and then take up his burden. Now, it may well be that I still have the same workload, but boy, it's a different approach. For me, back in 2002, starting that new call, yeah, I had work to do, plenty of work to do, but I didn't need to have the stress and the anxiety to be able to trust that God is God and I am not, was one of the things that was so important for me to learn. And for you all also, I hope that you will hear God is God and you aren't either. Yes, we have work to do. Jesus invites us into his burden, but he's the one carrying the weight. We're the ones who are alongside of him, doing the things he's called us to do. But we don't need to be carrying everything on our shoulders. Jesus walks with us, and he carries things on his shoulders. And so I am thankful for my Lord, because he is God, and I'm not. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Hello, my name is Pastor Q Elzey, and I'm the pastor at Christ Chapel, more often known as the Red Door Church, here in Fort Recovery. The book of Hebrews, chapter 10, verse 23, says this: let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. Hold on to hope unswervingly, unbending, constant, tenacious, immovable. In a world that is so variable, in times that are so variable, how do we find a faith that is so fixed? And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love in good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Here in community, we are not alone. Together, we walk alongside others on this faith journey, others who know the way. Our fellow travelers steady us when we stumble. They help us up when we fall. And when we wander from the straight and narrow, as we are at times prone to do, they center us. When we are worn and depleted, much like Pastor Robin alluded to this year in particular, when we feel like giving up, they keep us going with their words and encouragement, with the inspiration of their example. When the path is dark and we can't see the next step, when doubts press in on every side and it seems like we have more questions than answers, they help us to remember that hope is on the horizon. They remind us what it is that we're aiming for. They remind us of the goodness and the faithfulness of Jesus. Here, in community, we find belonging. We find strength. We find purpose. Here we find our family. We find our home. I am thankful for this. For us. I'm thankful for my church.
Well, good evening, church. I'm Pastor Jim Stillwell. I'm the pastor of the United Methodist Church here in Fort Recovery, and also for the Erastus United Methodist Church on that crossroads of Erastus, Durban Road, and St. Anthony. And I am here to speak to family, being thankful for family and for the things that family brings. This day, I preached on the last of a four-part series that we've been preaching on through these weeks with Pastor David Porth and myself on gratitude and the lost art of gratitude and what does that mean to us. And we were in the book of Philippians, that letter that Paul writes to the church at Philippians, and he says, I thank God every time I remember you in all my prayers for all of you. I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day and until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it out to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Family, what does that mean to us? What is family? Pastor Q alluded to the church as family. A little story I can relate to that is when I finally came to reach out and say to Jesus, I am yours, Lord, and decided to be baptized in our home church up in Grand Rapids, Michigan. The first person that I called when that happened was my sister. I told my sister, she lived in Florida, and I called her and said, Barbara, we have a church home here in Grand Rapids, and I was baptized today. Her first comments were, praise God, our prayers have been answered. Amen. I could hear the joy in her voice from 1,000 miles away, and I understood that she really did believe that, you know, that this was a wonderful thing. That was my first church family. And it grew from there. It has grown from there. Over the years, I have had the opportunity to serve churches in western Michigan. I was in Grand Rapids to begin with, and then moved to a little town called Benton Harbor, and later spent 8 years in Three Rivers, Michigan, serving about 3 churches in that area. All through that time, my family began to grow and become stronger and larger and become more faithful. the encouragement that we receive, the telling of when we're not right and we're wrong, and being told that, you know, we need to think more about that, is there from those folks that have become family. But I remember true, and this is my, I'm so thankful for my true, I will call it my true family. They are, we're all true family together when we're brothers and sisters in Christ. But I remember my grandfather, who was a leader in his church. And I remember a day when we came, my brother, my oldest brother and I, and my biological father went to church that Sabbath Saturday and sat and listened to my grandfather teach Bible study. And I could just see the pride in him, and the, as he sat there and saw the generations of his family sitting in a pew listening to him and hearing him speak. And I remembered back in the days when, with my grandfather, when I was about 5 years old, riding around in an old pickup truck around the streets of Mount Vernon, Ohio, collecting stuff that people didn't want anymore, to take it to the trash or to take it home and see what he could make out of it. I grew up in a family that was divided. My family split when I was 5 years, 6 years old. My father decided to make other choices in his life, but someone else stepped into my mother's life a few years later and became my father, my stepfather. From him, I learned what it meant to reach out in love to others that you were not biologically connected to. I now have two stepdaughters. I have step-grandchildren, step-great-grandchildren, and all of them are part of that family that I rejoice over. So I give thanks to God every time that I think of them, and I lift them up in God, to God, and give them thanks and ask God to bless them and care for them. I am thankful for family and what family gives to us.
Good evening. My name is Emily Doherty, and I'm from the Fort Recovery Church of the Nazarene. And I've been given the task to read the scripture from Psalms 100, and this is the New International Version, and I have it on my Bible app here. A psalm for giving grateful praise is what it's entitled. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his people. For the sheep of his pasture, enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Praise his name. For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations.
And I forgot to introduce myself. When you preach at the church that's hosting it, you forget that people out there don't know who you are. So I'm David Nicholson, the minister here at First Church of Christ. I want to thank Cassie for playing and Robin loading us her tonight to play for special music and the intro. Want to Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is truly an American holiday here, and one of the oldest that's been celebrated since we became a nation. In October of 3rd, 1788, Congress issued the first Thanksgiving proclamation to be held the first year of George Washington's presidency. And so November 26th, the last Thursday of the month. And so I just got the cue because I wander. So I need to stay right here. So the next 74 years, each state, and there was so much controversy in the beginning of the nation about the states' rights and everything, each state determined its own time to have a Thanksgiving. Somewhere between October and November, it was held. And then in 74 years after George Washington, Lincoln was president, Abraham Lincoln, and he received a letter from Sarah Josepha Hale, who was 74 years old herself. And she was an editor of a magazine, and she wrote that it needed to be a national holiday. It should have a fixed day. She wrote, "It now needs national recognition and an authoritative fixation only to become permanently an American custom and institution." So Lincoln proclaimed the last Thursday of November to be observed as a day of giving thanks to the Lord. You have to understand, this is in the middle of the Civil War, and it wasn't going too good for the North. The South, the Southern armies were led by great generals. They were the ones had the dominated in the training centers at that time and the military genius compared to the Northern. And President Lincoln was not looking at the affairs taking place. He was looking to the Lord for strength. Every president up to FDR formally proclaimed the last Thursday of November as Thanksgiving. In 1939, President Roosevelt decided in the middle here, and the Depression was going on and things weren't going too well, he decided to move things up to the third Thursday, and Congress and the country and a lot of people were upset. So the House of Representatives passed legislation saying the last Thursday. The Senate came back and said the fourth Thursday. And ever since then, the fourth Thursday has been day to set aside for Thanksgiving. Has it been lost to some degree, though, with parades? You know, everything has changed this year. The beginning of the Christmas season, and that's why Roosevelt moved it up. It gave an extra week to go Christmas shopping, was the idea. The Lord was being left behind. Maybe this year is a time to sit back and refocus on Jesus Christ and God the Father. In 1942, World War II was going not too good for the Allies. The United States was still gearing up, Following World War I, the United States, as well as other countries, after the slaughter that took place in World War I and the never going to have a war, the Great War, that's the end war, and there's never going to be another one, we were still gearing up our manufacturing for war in 1942. FDR, though, proclaimed in his Thanksgiving proclamation, "It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord." There was no certainty at that time as to what the future held for the USA or the world. FDR could not predict who would ultimately win the war, how many would die, how long it would last, and a million other incalculable issues. Yet he did not look to his generals and admirals for inner strength, for he focused his attention and tried to bring the nation to focus and give thanks to God that God was still on the throne, that God was still there. We're coming to the end of the year, and it's been mentioned, you know, Robin, it's just been mentioned, this is a year to throw in the trash can. Now, I have a calendar with fire trucks on it that I got it from the fire department this year, and so I've been ripping them off and sending them to my grandson, not for the calendar, but he likes fire trucks. He's 2 and a half, so he likes seeing the fire trucks. It's been a year with restrictions that haven't been seen since World War II. We haven't suffered with food restrictions like my mother and dad talked about, where they had coupons and you could only get so much meat and you could only get so many tires and everything, gas was restricted and everything else because it was all going for the military. But we've been restricted in a lot of other ways. This hasn't been that long ago, and it seems to be happening again, that toilet paper is disappearing off the shelves again. Yeah. But in World War II, we haven't seen the loss like we are seeing with lives like today and being reported since the Vietnam War, the tallies every night. Those of us that are old enough to remember Walter Cronkite reading how many was killed and how many was wounded in Vietnam. You know, we're not rationed, but in some ways we are being restricted in travel. Medicines. At first, there was a shortage of this and that is being taken care of to some degree. People in countless nations were impacted under World War II, as well as today. We're hearing the statistics from around the world. And no one knew what tomorrow held. There was the pundits, just like today, that are speaking, and, you know, people think they know what they're saying, and sometimes I wonder. But God was still on the throne in World War II, and he's still on the throne today. George Washington could not have dreamed what the nation would face and how big it would get. The French, you know, the Louisiana Purchase hadn't been made yet. We didn't know how far west it would expand. He had no idea the War of 1812 would take place, although he probably had an idea the British would not give up one of its major colonies very easily. But he trusted in God. Abraham Lincoln had no idea if the Union would survive or if two nations would rise from the ashes that was and the countless losses of life, where thousands would die in a battle. They'd line up and just shoot at each other. The mini balls flying, the cannonballs flying, the howitzers and the bombs going off. The war had been a disaster for the North, and there was growing discontent and riots beginning to take place in major cities against the war. But his trust and hope was in God, and he called the nation to look to God. Not his generals. He called the people to look above. He knew who was truly on the throne, and he wanted people to focus on that. FDR, again, had little military to be thankful for. Germany, Italy, and Japan in their early stages of 42 and well into 1942 were still making advances. Japan and China and Korea and Vietnam was moving. Hitler was still moving across Europe. Britain was under attack. He was turning his attention to attack Russia. Italy had North Africa under control, and the Allies had not really had too much to celebrate. The country was still in that ramp-up mode, and people were still adjusting to all the restrictions, the lack of medicine. It was about that time that my grandmother, my mother's mother, died of appendicitis, trying to get to Battle Creek, Michigan, trying to get through, and there was a military convoy. Her appendix ruptured, and she couldn't get through because of the convoy. My grandfather couldn't drive. And then when she got there, there was no medicine to treat an appendix that had ruptured. Penicillin and sulfa was new, and it was all for the military. And so there was a lot of things going on in the country that still was trying to adjust. But FDR again called people to look beyond that temporary situation. Hope could be found in the ultimate power over all creation. Sometimes we're looking at the headlines more than we're looking up. Because God was on the throne for him, God is still on the throne for us. This Thanksgiving, maybe we need to focus more on God, less on Christmas, less on the ads on TV, less on the news, and more on the God's power. This year, if you look at what we've been through in the world, the nation, the state, the county, maybe as a family, maybe personally you've been impacted, you might find it hard to be thankful. For many, again, 2020 has been that let's toss it in the history book, let's get it over with, let's just move on and leave it behind. But we need to lift our eyes higher than the valley in which we've been driven into against our will. Be encouraged, because God is still on the throne. Psalm 113, verses 1 through 9 says, "Praise the Lord. Praise, O servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Let the name of the Lord be praised, both now and forevermore. From the rising of the sun to the place where it sets, the name of the Lord is to be praised. The Lord is exalted over all the nations, his glory above the heavens. Who is like the Lord our God, the one who sits enthroned on high, who stoops down to look on the heavens and the earth? He raises the poor from the dust and lifts the needy from the ash heap. He seats them with princes, with the princes of their people. He settles the barren woman in her home as a happy mother of children. Praise the Lord." Praise the Lord. Every valley has an entrance and an exit. We're not in a canyon. When I ministered in West Virginia, some of the hollers, you'd go down, they didn't have a way out. You'd have somebody at the end of the holler down one of those, and it was a canyon. Well, maybe if you had a mule, you might be able to climb up out of there. But if you were in a vehicle, you turned around and came back out. But there was a whole lot of valleys. And in those valleys, there was always a way to get out at the other end. We're in a valley. Thankfully, we're not in a canyon. But our whole life is in a valley. You know, when we read Psalm 23, and it talks about the Lord being with us and everything, when we read verse 4, through the valley of the shadow of death, when we regulate that to funerals, and sometimes I wish we didn't have that word in there. I wish we had the better thought from the Hebrew, which is the idea of the unknown and possibly trials. It's the shadow of. And David was writing about there in Israel. And there's a lot of valleys, a lot of twists and turns. Again, if you've ever traveled in the West Virginia or down in Kentucky or Tennessee, they don't know what a straight road is. A straight road down there may be 100 feet. And then you're not sure. You know, you go up a hill, and one time from Michigan, my ministry in Michigan, we went to Tennessee, took 15 kids in the van, went down to a conference. And we were going, we had one afternoon free, and so we're going to visit a cave. None of them had ever been to a cave. Well, having ministered in West Virginia, I knew when you're going up a hill and you're looking at the sky and the road disappears, you have three choices that it's going to be at the crest, and you are ready for the three choices. It might go straight, it might be a hairpin to the left or a hairpin to the right, and you're ready for it. And so I noticed after a while, and we're twisting and turning, and we're going up and around and everything like that, and I'm just driving, and it got quiet in the van. Now, you have 15 teenagers crammed in a van. It's not quiet. But it got quiet, and I couldn't figure out why. And we got there, and one of the girls got out, and she said, "You can drive." I wasn't a Michigan driver. I went back to being a West Virginia driver. And I grew up in Michigan. I had to learn to drive in West Virginia because it was exciting for a while, not knowing the roads. And where two cars meet, one stops and pulls way over, and you hope you're still on the road to let the other one pass. There's no farm equipment like here or there. You know, we're on that valley. It's been twisting and turning. And sometimes when you're driving in a valley in the mountains or you're driving up a mountain, you look and you see taillights and it's yours. Because that's the road you're on. And maybe that's what we've been feeling like. You know, there might be danger, and what the Psalm 23 is talking about, maybe there's danger, maybe there's not. Maybe there's robbers waiting around the corner. Maybe it's going to be smooth sailing. See, it's the shadow of the unknown, and that scares us when we don't know, because we are people who want to know. We plan. We all have calendars. We all have this idea of what's going to happen tomorrow, when we're going to get up, and what we're going to do. And this year has been a year of, I don't know what's going to happen. The twists and turns of the valley of life. But we have the assurance in that psalm that God's with us. And sometimes we forget not only to look up, but to reach up. We have assurance that God will help us. In that idea that the Lord is ahead of us. And also Jesus in his parables and everything else all through the Bible, it has this idea of the good shepherd. And the good shepherd comes back, keeps count of his sheep, and will backtrack to help carry one. Many of the shepherds, if a lamb was wounded or injured, they would carry him, or they would slow down. They took care of their sheep. You might be going through the darkest, deepest part of your life valley right now that you think you've ever traveled. But we need to reach up. You need to reach up to God. Take his hand. He's right there. He's waiting for us to reach up. He'll not abandon us or forsake us. This year, don't let the world get you down. And let's praise the Lord and be thankful that he is Lord. And he is on the throne. I like that idea, and I've thought of it many times. When I was in Bible college, there was a play in Baltimore, Maryland, and I liked the title of it. We never got to go because I was a student in Bible college. But the title of it was, "Your Arm is Too Short to Box with God." And sometimes we might be trying to fight God. Be thankful for the Lord is on the throne. Be thankful for your church family. Be thankful for your family and the support you have. When events start getting you down, take a deep breath and start counting your blessings. Name them one by one, the old song says. You have and drive and the doom and gloom away. You have that ability. With a thankful heart and mind, because God is still on the throne. As Psalm 100 said, and Emily read, that shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth, all of us. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name, for the Lord is good and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. The Lord is still on the throne, and give praise to him. Let's pray. Father God, as we do come tonight, as we come into your presence, as we enter this week where so much is revolving around Christmas, let us just take a breath and step back. And we celebrate the birth and we give thanks that you are willing to allow your Son to come into this world to save us, to die, to take the penalty of our sin guilt upon that cross. But we have taken as a nation and dedicated a day out of the year to stop and give thanks. And this year, may we give thanks to you. Give thanks that you're on the throne and we're not. Nobody in Washington, nobody in any other capital of the world. No governor, no senator, no judge sits truly on the throne that you sit on, that you are over all, and that you will help us and give us strength as we look to you to stand before you and hear those beautiful words, "Well done, enter into my rest." So though that we've entered this valley called 2020, hopefully we'll be able to look back after a few years as we have for so many things that we've lived through. From 9/11 to the assassination of John Kennedy to the riots of 67 and 68 to all the history before to the Civil War, and it'll be just a page or a paragraph in the history books because we've been able to move beyond. And so, Father, we give thanks to you because you are always there. You do not change, and your word is our source of strength. Your presence through the Holy Spirit, may we feel your presence, know your presence, and give thanks always. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, thank you for listening and for those who participated tonight in the community service. May you have a blessed Thanksgiving Day.
Cassie Minchoffer playing the closing there. And you also heard Pastor Dave Nicholson, pastor here at the First Church of Christ in Fort Recovery, giving the message. That does conclude our broadcast tonight from the, again, First Church of Christ, just south of Fort Recovery on the Union City Road. Thank you so much for listening. This Fort Recovery Community Thanksgiving service coming to you from the Church of Christ, south of Fort Recovery on the Union City Road, a presentation of Calp Pharmacy in Fort Recovery, Cooper Farms in Fort Recovery, Wayne Oil in Fort Recovery, and the St. Henry Bank. Again, thanks to Calp Pharmacy, Cooper Farms, Wayne Oil, and the St. Henry Bank for their support of this radio broadcast.
WPGW, AM and FM, Portland.